What if I did this the whole time?
People would probably listen. More, we'd probably get more listeners than we usually do. That's less annoying than our voices. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Broverwatch podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and I'm joined here by Calder Amos Wood. Calder, how you doing, little buddy?
Tired.
Yeah, understandable. So, we didn't have an episode last week because Calder was on break. I was going to record one alone, but I was only busy. I had to wake up at 4:30 every morning, so that sucked for me.
I'm really good at recording them by myself.
And then we weren't going to have one this week because now I have a week break, but then I'm going on a trip tomorrow, so I had to come back to my place anyway, and I was like, hey.
Tell them your address so they know where to go.
10-10-10-10-10.
And that's letters. That's spelled that. That's the street name.
Yeah. Try and guess what number unit I am on that street.
You're 14, right?
14-10-10-10-10-10-10 street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my address if you ever want to find me. For those of you who don't know, the Broverwatch podcast, a podcast where two young specimens discuss the...
I'm basically grand...
You're basically
geriatric.
A grand dad. But
I'm already illiterate.
The Overwatch League and what's going on. We're recording this on Sunday just because it's the only time we can. So the Toronto Defiant Houston Outlaws match is happening right now. We figured it's not a huge loss missing that game because we know what the outcome's going to be because Houston's so bad.
Are you sure about that?
Listen. Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure. So we're not – usually we go through the games, but since we missed last week – and Calder and I haven't seen every game that's happened this weekend because you and I both went to an event for some friends.
It was so fucking crazy, dude.
It is crazy.
I was as drunk as a skunk in a trunk. That's not true at all. I had 3 Smirnoff ices.
Yeah, well, that's a lot for you. That's not true.
Oh, you'll not. You'll not offer me, dude.
But yeah, so we weren't able to watch all the games. So we're just going to talk about the league in general, how we feel so far, maybe talk a bit about 2-3-1 or 1-3-2, whatever it is.
3-2-1.
Well, people have called it 3-2-1, but then everyone's like, but usually tanks are listed first and then DPS, then support. So it's really 1-3-2.
Yeah, but
interesting.
That's my analysis.
Which also, apparently now, like, even with the, like, 1-3-2, like, thing, queue times for DPS are still by far the longest.
On 1-3-2?
Yeah.
Yeah, because people want to shoot stuff.
Exactly. So it doesn't solve the problem it went to solve.
Also, you know what,
We'll just talk about this first. We'll talk about 1-3-2 first.
Are we going to talk about this first?
We're talking about it first. So, Jeff, like, made a forum post because someone was like, what if we did, like, 1 tank, 3 DPS, 2 support? That would be interesting. And then Jeff responded to it going, well, we've actually been playtesting this in-house, so maybe we'll do it. Create like an experimental thing. I like the idea of the experimental game mode where they can just like try things that they wouldn't put on the PTR. It's a good idea, but I don't like 1-3-2 at all.
No. And I've all, well, because we'll go through why we don't like it. And then, so why I don't like it is it just feels disgustingly unorganized. Mm. And it completely changes what the game kind of is supposed to be.
Yeah,
because then you're just whoever kills the most wins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just a death match to see who lives first.
I feel like there's less teamwork and less planning and more let's see who can shoot best.
Yeah.
And like the main reason for it is to shorten queue times. And like we said before, it just didn't do that.
Yeah. And a lot of the I actually like a lot of the hero changes that they did for it.
What, for, like, but the tanks?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about that is they did that to make playing tank not the worst. Because here's the thing. Playing tank, already kind of the worst. The only thing we have going for us is short queue times. So to make the queue times longer by making there only be one, and then also taking away a partner for us, who like can, because
can help.
Tanks just work in duos. Wrecking Ball's maybe the only one that that's like thrives alone, but like they work in duos. So taking away a partner, lengthening queue times. Sure, you add a couple buffs, but like it's from what I've played, it's just not enough.
Yeah, and I think what they added to Zarya and Hog are like cool changes that I would maybe, if they were balanced differently, like on live, like the multiple protective barriers, kind of a cool thing. And the Hog take a breather is kind of cool too. But if they just like change the numbers around a little bit, but I don't want it to be like that because there's only one tank. I'd rather they just like change something with them. Cause I mean, the tanks are getting kind of boring to play too.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten a new hero in,
I will say,
how many months?
I will say I was getting bored with playing tank and Overwatch in general when I was forced to play. I mean, Sigma's all right, but forced to play Sigma and Orisa. But now that I'm able to play Ryan and Winston again, I'm having fun. Mostly Winston. I there's rarely a game where I play Winston where I'm not having fun, just because he's a blast and a half, and I love that boy. But like some changes they could do, they could take that Zarya multi bubble change and like change it so that it's like, the bubble has less health and gives you less energy, but you can give out three bubbles to people at a time. Kind of like Briggs. Yeah. Wow. Great minds think.
I think that'd be cool. And it'd also give her like a little more utility and make it a little, make her a bit of a faster paced hero. Yeah. Because Zarya's kind of slow when you're at low charge. Yeah. But I'm not a balanced, I don't balance the game.
You're not a balance man.
I like that they tried, like they actually changed heroes instead of just buffing them in different places.
It's a cool experiment, hence why it's in the experimental mode.
But the thing I want most out of anything is, like, this is cool and stuff, but I'd like a new hero at some point.
Yeah, someone was saying that, like, we should be receiving a hero soon, but, like, a lot of people are saying they'll probably kind of push this experimental mode thing for as long as they can before releasing a new hero. But that kind of bums me out, because I kind of want a new hero. Huh?
I want a new tank, please.
Oh, we just got a new tank in Sigma.
Oh, I guess, but like,
there's no rules saying they have to switch, but I just feel like that's just a thing they do. I feel like they're not going to give us two tanks in a row.
Here's the thing, they also said they had six ready.
Yeah.
And we haven't gotten one. It's been 2 months. Well, actually, it's been more than 2 months. They said that at BlizzCon. It's been
since BlizzCon, which was in, wasn't it in September, October?
I think it's either October or November.
Anyway, it's been a tad little bit.
Are we just whining right now? Probably.
Yeah, we're just whiny little boys. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like a new hero, maybe even a new map.
Maybe they're testing out those new abilities for like to see how they work. Would work on a new hero, like the Hog breather thing.
Maybe
I'd like the Hog breather thing more than anything,
because it heals people around you a little bit.
If you had a tank that was kind of, it's kind of like fortify but also not,
I mean, it would I feel like a lot of the time when we have like kind of low healing healers, it'll be like, oh, it's okay, we have a Hog, he can heal himself. I feel like people just say that so that to justify it. But it would actually make sense if he had that ability, because it's like, well, it helps a little bit.
And he's also basically just a flanker if he doesn't have to play with the team.
Yeah.
And then it kind of encourages Hog players who are just DPS players to leave.
Yeah.
And not pay attention to anything. But I, here's the thing. Overall, don't like 3-2-1. I do like the experimental thing. I like some of the changes that they made, like the Zarya bubble thing's kind of cool. The Hog thing's kind of cool.
The main thing is I'm glad that they did it, because like, it's them making this mode and then us trying it and going, no, compared to them just going, this is the thing we're doing. And then everyone being like, well, don't like the game now.
Yeah.
Because like, they literally just did 2-2-2 less than a year ago, right? And that was a massive change for the game. And like it made sense that it, like Jeff even said when they did it, like they've always been going, like even before there was 2-2-2 lock.
To be 2-2-2.
Exactly. And like when there were recommendations like not enough damage, not enough healing, like it's because they it was designed subconsciously to be 2-2-2.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's just like not.
And they even like changing the categories so that there's only three even enforces that even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I don't want is the next year to be DPS or something like that.
I feel I just, like it'll be a healer, personally. We have enough DPS. Yeah. Just give us another healer, then give us another tank. And then maybe if you want, healer, you can do it.
And then another tank.
And then another healer. And then another tank.
And then another tank.
And then introduce a new category called Fly Tanker. Boy.
Oh.
And it's someone who just like is able to see bird's eye view.
Doomfist in his ultimate.
Yeah.
Wow.
They had
full cap that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if it was overtime though. Elixir was playing well. It's surprising when you play the players that have been good.
You know what? I feel like we've covered 3-2-1. We just don't like it. Let's move on to Overwatch League. We'll start with Houston, just because they're playing right now and they're kind of in the barrel. We knew that they were. I mean, I feel like most people knew they weren't going to do as well as their roster looked.
Yeah, because their roster looks amazing on paper.
Yeah. But then they did worse than everyone thought they'd do, which is strange. Where did we have them?
Well, okay, here's. I don't dislike Blase, but they're playing him in an off role. And we saw in Boston. Don't play people in off roles. This happened with Blase exactly. Mm-hmm. And like hitscan and projectile are close, like they're both damage. And he played off tank in Boston, but just play him at what he's supposed to play.
So we were talking about this a bit before, but everyone was like, why isn't Lynxer playing hitscan? Why are they making the projectile player play hitscan? I guess Lynxer's sick, and then Lynxer tweeted saying, no, I'm just bad. It's like, what's happening? Why are you doing
bad?
He's not. I think that Lynxer can sometimes have confidence issues on stage. Like, I feel like he's either there or he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's why you have four people on the team. That's why you have Dante there. That's why you have. Well, here's the thing. They should be playing Hydration all the time.
Yeah.
Hydration should be playing consistently. Dante. He's got a niche hero pool, so maybe not consistently, but pretty often.
Yeah.
Because Dante's probably one of the best players on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the most impact in the heroes that he's good at. So
I figured they'd almost always play Hydration Dante. But that's not at all what's been happening.
They've been playing Blase Hydration. They played Blase Dante yesterday.
Also,
Houston's going to win this.
We put Houston at 10th in our power rankings. Leal high. We definitely underestimated Paris.
Here, dude.
That's true.
They also got Mecco.
Yep.
He was one of the best off tanks in the league last year.
Yep.
And they have completely new healers, but they're still playing Rockus. I don't know why they're still playing Rockus.
I mean
Rockus
is
good.
Rockus,
but he's
like, and. Rockus and Jexa have, or no, and Repel's been swapping out for him. They've had pretty even map wins and draws.
But, I mean,
I feel like they're playing
the original Houston team stuff all season, but we can tell
that it don't work.
Just try something else.
Yeah,
just do anything else.
I think they're playing Rockus when they're playing Ana because he is a good Ana, and then they're just playing Repel whenever else. But
you got Repel, so just play Repel. You got Hydration, play Hydration, and you have Dante. Play Hydration and Dante. Just do something.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm very tired right now. But I don't like the coaching on Houston. Because they seem very stubborn. They've lost
the coaching or the staff?
Well, I guess the staff, but I figure that's the coaching.
I think I agree. I was going to say, because like, maybe I just like Harsha, but like, I watched an interview with Dream, their assistant coach. Mm-hmm. He was like, "We're happy with Blase's performance." And I'm like, "How can you be happy with Blase's performance? Literally the last in every stat."
Like,
and I think it's just a Houston Outlaws like organization mindset, because it's kind of always been the way with Houston. We've discussed it a billion jajigian times that like Houston will have a clear problem, and then when they're asked to address the problem, they'll say there is no problem.
Yeah,
and then it's like you clearly have a problem.
Houston, they're spamming the tuna to fire Muma. What are you doing? That's what chat's saying now.
Here's the thing.
It's just, I find it dumb.
Even though Muma's been underperforming recently, like, people have been like, he keeps shattering shields. And Super had a good bit on Avast's stream where he was like, listen, he's underperforming, that's true. But to say he's bad because he keeps shattering shields, every Rhyne shatters shields. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, but he's shattering shields when, like, the shield's been up for, like, 10 seconds. Well, yeah, when you're a Rhyne, you try to get prediction shatters. And, like... Mm-hmm. Like, Roar on Washington had a really good prediction shatter against, I forget who they were facing. I want to say it was London. But they had a great prediction shatter where, like, he just walked up, and as he was hammering down, they dropped the shield, and he just bang, boom, bang, bop. And everyone freaked out, and they were like, wow, he's so good. Because he landed it. Now, if he didn't land it, everyone would be like, wow, Roar sucks. And it's like, no, it's a hit or miss.
Well, they were saying that, too. They were saying that after, like, the second week of games or something.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about how Roar was bad because he was hitting shatters into ice walls and stuff.
It's like, listen, you got to take – no pun intended, you got to take some swings. Some of them are going to hit. Some of them are going to miss.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think Muma's bad because he's doing bad shatters. I think Houston's bad, so every player on Houston is looking bad, except Jexa or Jexa. Jexa. He's been looking good regardless.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing quite well, but like it's every also
hard
player
to tell
been...
when a main healer is doing bad, especially when they're on Lucio.
That's true.
Like unless they're feeding out of their ass.
yeah. But it's interesting. So I'm done talking about Houston. There's a mindset around their organization that is kind of, I guess, stubborn. Yeah.
They know it hasn't worked in so many. It's been 3 years, and it hasn't worked any of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were bad last season. They were all right in the first season.
I'm willing to give them.
There was only 10 teams.
I'm willing to give them a little bit of a pass last season just because they were dealing with a lot of organization, like, bankruptcy problems.
Yeah.
But they should have had it figured out by this season.
Mm-hmm. And this off, they had so much time in the off season.
Yeah.
And they spent a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
So.
So we just talked about Houston, someone who we overrated in the standings, putting them at 10th. Now let's talk about someone we underrated. We put Paris third last, and they've been doing very well.
I didn't think Eggsy was going to be this good.
Yeah. Eggsy is really good. But here's the thing. The new players that Paris have brought in have been really good. Eggsy, Hanbin, FD God, they've all been great. But even their old players, who we were asking why they were still on the team, are way overperforming what they did last year. Like, Benbest is arguably one of the best Rhynes in the league right now. Stats-wise, he definitely is. But, like, he's doing great. And everyone was, like, memeing on Benbest being, like, one of the worst tank players in the league.
And Nico's actually playing well.
Yeah.
Still don't know who it is, but he's playing well.
That's like such an old reference. That's like from like episode 2 of the Broverwatch podcast.
He's still, as long as he's in the lead.
Yeah. And then Hype, he's been like swapping out with Gray. They kind of swap it in and out. He didn't swap out today. They beat Atlanta, which I guess we'll get to. But Yeah, Paris has been way overperforming.
Did Atlanta play Edison at all?
No. That's bad for you.
Back on the Baby Bay train.
Yeah, apparently Baby Bay's just been doing great. I don't know if Edison played when they faced Toronto. Let's see.
No, he didn't.
No?
I don't think so.
But Erster's been doing well. Baby Bay did great. It was judging off of one game, and I'm sure it's down now that they lost to Paris. But after they faced Toronto, Baby Bay was first or second in every McCree stat. And it's like, well, like a lot of people were saying, like, that's the best Baby Bay's ever been.
Should have never given him up. What do you mean? Baby Bay. San Francisco.
Oh.
They're in the gutter now.
I'm pretty sure San Francisco's going to be just fine.
They don't play for 2 weeks. Two more weeks until I get to see San Francisco play.
That's true.
Oy vey. Did you like that?
Oy vey. But, yeah, Paris has been...
They don't even play in 2 weeks, dude.
It's fine.
When do they play?
Dude.
When is this fucking team going to play?
Dude, you think it's bad for San Francisco? Shanghai doesn't play till like end of March is their first game.
Yucky. They play week 8, dude.
Yep, that's end of March. Week 8. Shanghai doesn't play until...
Week 8, I think.
No, it's not week 8 either.
Really?
They don't play till week 12 or week 10.
That sucks. Is Shanghai the latest one? Or is there another team that's...
I think so.
I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah, let's...
We didn't really talk about that on the podcast, how the league is getting absolutely blasted by a...
Corona.
By a germ.
That makes it sound so much less important than it is. Yeah. It sucks. Because that's probably the biggest thing that's... I mean, apart from the stupid...
Tezonde's watching right now.
Is he?
Tezonde's watching Overwatch League.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he streaming it?
He just... No, he's...
Tweet it.
I just saw him in the chat.
Oh, really?
He said, @ Gordon Murray, LA Valiant. I don't know what that means.
Someone probably asked him what team he cheers for.
Wow. Anyway, the coronavirus...
Well, here's what sucks. Apart from, like, production issues and, like, weird ads, the thing that's worst about this season... is that a bunch of the, like, international homestands had to be canceled.
Yeah.
Like.
And there are a lot of the fan favorite teams, too. Like, I really like watching Guangzhou.
Yeah.
I like.
Well, like, here's the thing. Even if Guangzhou doesn't have the biggest, like, Western fan base, their fan base in China is absolutely massive.
Because the city's bigger than almost all of them.
Yeah.
In, like. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You ever just we've definitely talked about this before. I Googled Chinese city populations.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing. Well, not stupid, but it's just.
Well, I was talking to someone in my class who, like, pretends to know a lot but doesn't really know anything. And I was, like, talking about the population. And I was, like, just talking about esports. And I was like, you know the city Guangzhou? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, definitely don't, but okay. And I was like, try and guess how many people they have. And then they were like, or no, I didn't ask them to guess. I was like, they have nearly 13 million people. And then they were like, yeah, well, how much does Toronto have? Don't they have like 10 million? And I'm like, okay, well, that even more proves that you have no idea what you're talking about. They don't even have 3 million yet.
I saw an ad and it was on the subway and it said, all 2.94625 million of us. I feel like it's been at almost 3 million for like 5 years.
Yeah.
It's so
well, yeah, then,
strange.
Well, and the thing is, she was then like, doesn't Vancouver have a lot of people? Like, don't they have like 6 million? And I checked and I'm like, no, they literally have 700,000.
Yeah.
It's like, Guangzhou is huge.
The GTA as a whole has 5 million. And that's like multiple cities.
The greater Toronto area as a whole has
Mississauga, Brampton.
6 million almost. Yeah.
Like, so like literally nothing. Even New York is like, New York State, obviously not Manhattan, is like 8 million. something like that.
8.6 million for New York City.
Like, Toronto's not a big city at all.
No. I feel like people overestimate, like, when it's like, yeah, Guangzhou has like 16 million people. It's like, yeah. No, that's a lot of people.
That's not like a...
It's like, you definitely didn't know Guangzhou was. But, yeah, so I was... That's the thing I'm most bummed about, is not being able to see the Chinese fans.
Man, and that also, sucks. that hurts the league a lot, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if they're going to... I don't know if they're watching if their teams aren't playing, right?
Yeah. They'll get rescheduled, but it's just... It's a hassle. It's a waste of money. It's
Blase subbing in for Lynxer, too.
Interesting.
Lynxers. Hopefully they can play them in the U.S. somewhere. Yeah,
I'm hoping they can still do it LAN. They've discussed possibly doing it online. I feel like that would not be... I don't know. It just... It doesn't only hurt the league, but it hurts, like, the experience. It hurts the season. Because, mm-hmm. like, the competitive integrity is a little bit gone. Because, mm-hmm. like, they'd planned it so that every team would play some games without the hero pools, for example. Mm-hmm. Now there's some teams that are only going to play with hero pools. Some of these teams, like, they have a disadvantage because they have to keep jumping around all these countries and they're being chased by these germs. But, like, then they have an advantage because they're able to watch all these games and just prepare mm-hmm. for these teams. Like, they've got so much time.
Atlanta against Toronto. I feel like if Atlanta didn't win that game, that's bad. Yeah. Because no one had seen Atlanta play.
Yeah.
And everyone had seen Toronto play. Toronto's played like three
times. Well, that's the other thing. Toronto almost beat Philly. Mm-hmm. And Philly's arguably one of the best teams right now. But, like, Philly played a game the day before. Toronto had like 2 weeks to prepare for Philly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you have to kind of gauge these things. So, like,
yeah.
This.
So, I don't know how much better Atlanta is than Toronto right now. Atlanta's obviously good. Mm. Toronto's good, too. But I don't think Atlanta's 3-0 on Toronto good. You know?
Yeah. I feel like they're, like, 3-1 on Toronto good. I feel like Toronto's good, but they're very, clutch, but they are... They also make a lot of easy mistakes. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like they win or lose on whether someone pops off.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't, like, move as a unit as much. Like, I watch Philly and I'm like, they are moving as a unit.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Toronto, I'm like, man, agility's just popped off. Oh, shoot. Well,
Toronto's whole team is pretty much new, too.
Yeah.
Like,
Logix is the only mainstay. Logix is the only one that's staying.
And Logix doesn't even play the whole time.
Yeah.
So, Philly's pretty new, but they've still got, like, Sato. Alarm was playing basically in the same system. They're playing Sato and Poco together. They've got Carpe. And who are they playing with Carpe? Ivy?
Yeah, they're playing Ivy. Ivy's been insane.
Well, he was really good with Toronto, too, and then Toronto stopped playing.
He just had a bad team.
Yeah. Well, because they were like, oh, we're going to get IM37, the guy that was literally my rank before they signed him. That's not true.
That's not true.
I'm gold. But,
well, like, I think they also just, they knew the season was lost, so they focused on marketability. So they brought on, like, Mangachu and Logix, and, like, they focused on that. Which, honestly, I think was smart. And then they just axed their entire roster. And Ivy was good. I'm glad he found a good team.
Mm-hmm.
And EQO and Fury hadn't even played before they faced Boston. But then they played pretty well against Boston. It's tough to tell because it's against Boston. But, you know. Apparently, I was looking at the stats comparison between Jerry and Carpe.
It's so close, isn't it?
And, like, Jerry, other than deaths, was doing better than Carpe in every category.
Huh.
So Jerry, actually, people were mememing on him pretty hard before the season, being like, he's just a goofy guy.
His name's Jerry, too.
Well, and he's just like, there were videos coming out of him just being a wholesome boy. And apparently he was saying, like, there's clips of him on stream just saying this is real gang shit whenever they win a team fight. It's like, he's just a very marketable, likable guy, but usually those people aren't popping off.
Yeah.
Usually you're either really good or you're marketable and pretty good, but he seems to be a bit of both. Sato's been incredibly impressive on Philly.
Yeah.
He's first in almost every stat. Well, yeah, you and I were talking about this last night at like 3 a.m. You and I were talking about how like Boombox, Neptuno, you look at that and you're like, that's a pretty good healing duo. But then you look at Funny Astro Alarm and you're like, that's a nutty healing duo. And I think that's the main reason Sato's doing better is because he has good support behind him.
And he plays fairly aggressive, so he kind of needs that.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, they're just able to keep him up in insane conditions. He's got, like, Blizzard. There's a Blizzard on him. All the whole team shooting at him, and he's still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I mention something that just happened in this game that is on?
Okay.
So... Houston just swapped out their two DPS, Linkser and Hydration, for Blaze and Dante.
Yeah.
We'll see how it works, but everyone in the chat is saying that it's bad and they're spamming emojis.
Spam this Puma to bench Muma.
Yeah. That, well, this... here's the thing, that's probably going to work.
That's probably going to make them do that. Oh, shoot, guys, I saw some emojis in the chat. We should probably bench Muma. Like, I will. Like, I will say, game. Dante on Sombra and Blaze on Doomfist. I like that way better than Blaze on McCree and Hydration on May.
Yeah.
Dante's a great Sombra. Blaze's a good Doomfist. This makes so much more sense. Why were they not doing this before?
Because they're silly.
They are a bit silly, aren't they?
What else has been happening in the league?
Well, I do want to talk a bit about Philly. Where do we rank Philly? We ranked Philly fifth.
Yeah.
So right under Shanghai, but we haven't seen Shanghai play yet.
We never will.
So I'd argue, granted, we've only seen Atlanta play twice. I think we've seen San Francisco play once. New York's been kind of So all
they
that being
lost to Philly, didn't they?
New York?
Yeah.
Maybe.
They only lost to Philly like last week. Yeah. And then they've been pretty good. The games at the start of the season in week one were not close, but like they weren't as far apart as they seemed.
Yeah. But basically where I was going was like, even though we haven't seen Shanghai, we've only seen Atlanta twice. New York, it's still hard to tell because they've looked very good and subpar also. And then, because they also looked kind of subpar in some of their wins as well. And then Shock, we've only seen once, right?
Shock have only played once.
So, like, all that being said, Philly, for me right now, is the best team in the league.
Yeah.
They're the best looking team in the league with the most evidence.
Yeah, and it's not a really hard case to make because you have to compare the teams that have played equal amounts, right? So Philly, New York, and Paris are really the only top teams that have played the same amount of times.
Yeah.
Philly's looked the best by far.
Yeah.
York is New York, like they're not the best, not the worst, you know?
Yeah. And then Atlanta, we shall see.
Paris has looked
quite good.
Much better than we thought. And it's going to be nice to see when they get all their players. Well, not get all their... They're just missing one, right?
They're just missing Sparkle.
Yeah.
They said that they were sick today, but then they kind of... They didn't crush Atlanta, but it was a bit one-sided. I don't know.
But I'm happy that Paris is good now, even though we hated them last season.
It's weird. I feel like it's kind of karma. We hardcore trashed on both Philly and Paris, and they're the two most impressive teams right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
hopefully some of the Chinese teams that we like a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
who do you think is going to be the best of the Chinese teams? Which one did we say?
I'd say Shanghai. We said Shanghai. And apparently Shanghai, at least in scrims, is like near shock level. So,
oh,
but that's just scrim bucks. So we'll see. I'm excited to watch Shanghai play though. But like last season, we hated Philly just because they have kind of like a kind of cocky, not smarmy, but like kind of like
disgusting
smug mindset or like vibe around them where it's like, oh yeah, we're really good, but they did just okay last season, but they were still like, oh yeah, we're awesome. And it's like, no, you're not. And I feel like, and Carpe even admitted it, like, I feel like they just weren't really trying last season. Like, Carpe said he barely practiced last season. And I think it's because they were like, we're really good, so that we don't really need to. Mm-hmm. But now they've come back this season, and, like, they're all clearly trying. They're all clearly also having fun. Like, Carpe made a tweet making fun of Alarm, saying Jonak is better than Alarm. And then Alarm responded saying Jerry's better than Carpe, and it was very funny. Anyway, but like they're all just having a good time. It seems like they're all enjoying themselves. But then, in comparison, Paris, I feel like we mostly hated on them last year because we're racist.
That's probably the whitest team in the league.
I know against Europeans.
Oh, okay.
No.
But
no,
they also said at the start of the season they're going to be the best GOATs team.
That's, I think, that's where GOATs, I was going to say that's the actual. They came in being like, we're going to be the best GOATs team and we're the best. And then they started, I mean, they were good off the bat, but then they just started to do poor again. But like, then like throughout the season when they were at the bottom of the standings, they were still saying they're the best GOATs team. And it's like, you can't lie anymore. But then now
we know you're lying.
So I think now they've been humbled, but they've also put in a lot of effort, and it looks like they gel well, and it's good. And they've
got some really talented, like, individual players.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that's a lot of the people that were on Paris aren't talented. Like Soon, obviously, is talented. But like Eggsy's insane.
Mm.
He's like a top of the league talent, at least right now.
I mean,
what is this?
What, I don't know. What is it?
Oh, it's a text from you, cuck.
Oh, I didn't send that recently.
It's probably from your mom then, dude. Got him. Ooh.
Okay, none of that. But I will say it's kind of funny because in Paris's first match, the casters were like, interesting that Soon's not here. They're opting to play Eggsy instead. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is kind of interesting. And then after the match, I was like, why would they ever play Soon?
Yeah.
Like, Soon's good, but why would they ever play Soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we've talked about Atlanta, Houston, Philly. We talked about
there's
Paris.
There's one more thing that I was thinking. There's been some Washington slander.
Oh.
Okay. Talking about how Washington isn't as good as they should be. And to that I say, I don't know what the problem is.
Here's what I'll say. I think Washington's looking better than people thought they would, because their roster is very small and not very flexible. But they're doing all right.
And they're also missing one of their, like, I know this probably doesn't sound like a big deal, and if he comes back, it might not even be a big deal. But they're missing the tank pairing to Elevote.
Yeah. They're Which Roar's been actually doing decent, but...
Mm-hmm. But I want to see them play together at some point in a meaningful way.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen that.
The issue is that I feel like Corey's obviously great. Stratus has been playing well. Roar's been playing well. And their Aimgot and Ark have been, like, pretty solid. And Elevote's actually been crazy. So, like, they're all playing well. The issue is they have one strat.
Yeah.
And it's that the whole team goes together, and then Corey goes on the flank and tries to pick people from the side by himself. Mm-hmm. And that works against lower-tier teams. But any upper-tier team with any, like, knowledge of that just jumps on Corey, kills him, and then they don't stand a chance. So like,
and you can also figure that out pretty easily in the game. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened with London.
Yeah.
Because they got reverse sweep by London. I think London was just like, oh, they're doing
the same thing. Every time. And then they went to break, and their coaches were like, look. And they're like, oh. And then they just did that.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, well, that was easy. Yeah. So I think Washington is better than people thought they'd be. The issue is they need, I don't want to say they need more flexibility, because that sounds, it's like,
I feel like this is kind of a problem with Toronto too, though.
Except like the thing with Toronto is I feel like their players are more flexible than Washington's players.
I don't think Nevics is super flexible. I was watching him on Zarya. Who did they play this week?
Before? They played Atlanta.
Yeah, against Atlanta. Why am I so dumb? And he was fine, but they probably shouldn't have been playing Zarya either. Like, I don't know why that was their option.
Well, they were also getting kind of crushed too, so it's hard to judge. But like, I look at the Washington roster, and I'm like, Corey, he's a hit scan god. Stratus, some people call him a May 1 trick. I don't think he is, because he's great at Doomfist as well, for example. But like, he's not super flexible. And then you look at Roar, he's pretty good. Elevote, I've only ever seen him on D.Va, but he's good at D.Va. And
that's meta too. So
yeah. And then Arc and Aim God, they're good at almost all the heroes, but they're not like great.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
Arc was really good at Mercy in season one.
That's true. But then I look at the Toronto roster, and it's about the same size. But the thing is, I look at Agilities, he can play a lot. Beast, I don't know much about, but moving on.
He hasn't really had to play anything besides Monkey and Ryan, and he's looked pretty fine on both.
Yeah. Nevics, we know he's great at D.Va. We know he's great at Sigma, because he basically taught Choi how to play Sigma.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that doesn't mean he's great, though. You can coach someone without being great at what you're teaching
them. That's true. That's true, I guess.
Like, basketball coaches don't have to be LeBron James to coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But, I feel like, but, like, Nevics has a reputation to be, like, just a solid player.
Yeah.
So I feel like I trust Nevics. Kellex, like, he was one of the only good things about Boston last season.
Mm-hmm.
I found. Yeah. And then Kareev's probably the best player on
he's the
Toronto,
best
maybe apart from Sherfort. It's between them two. And then
I'd say Kareev. I'd give it to
Kareev. I'd also give it to Kareev. But like, Logix is a hit scan specialist, very good. He's basically Widow and McCree. And then Sherfort can literally play anything he wants. It's like, I feel like the flexibility on this roster is better, even though it's small, compared to Washington, who I think they're just small. They're good, but they're small and not super flexible. So I feel like that's the difference between those two.
Why are they spamming Jeff? They're spamming Jeff in the Overwatch League chat.
Oh, I think that just became a thing that people would spam Jeff during the break, because there was like one day where Jeff was going to come out and reveal something. So every break, everyone would spam Jeff because they wanted Jeff to come out. And now people just spam Jeff in the chat.
Oh. This is a whole different thing. Never mind.
No, just go for it.
I was going to say, I've never found anything in a online live stream chat more than a funny. I don't know if audio listeners heard that. More than a
there you go.
Funny. Have you?
I have sometimes. It depends on the chat. Mostly only, like, I never find like XQC's chat super funny. I only get annoyed from Overwatch League chat. The only chat I ever consistently like enjoy and like laugh at is either Avast's chat or Sideshow's chat.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's all memes.
Yeah.
Like literally, I just checked just to see. I just checked over to Avast's channel. I'm not even watching it, but I just looked in the chat and everybody is spamming the link to Boston's tweet thanking Avast for his time on the team.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
And it's just like, I don't know what the context is, but it's funny. But anyway, I find those chats funny, but I hate Overwatch League chat.
You should probably end this, huh?
Yeah. So Okay, so I'm just going to quickly go through the teams, and for the ones we didn't talk about, we'll just give a one-second thoughts. We didn't really talk about San Francisco Shock, but they're, I think it's safe to say they're good. It's interesting seeing Architect on Ana, but it's kind of interesting. Whatever, good.
Yeah.
New York, we'll see. They seem fine. They seem like New York. Atlanta, good, but they kind of flaked out a bit today, so we'll see. Shanghai.
We have no idea what
Shanghai. Sorry, Corona. Philly's very, very good. Gladiators, everyone's saying they're still top of the league. From what I've seen, they're just okay.
Well, they've played one game, though.
Yeah, but from that game, I was like, beep. Like, they, I don't know. We'll see.
Did
we'll
they
see.
Play
we'll
against some.
I feel like they played against a decent team.
They played Vancouver, and they went. It was 3-2.
Okay, then. Okay. Yeah. Okay, then.
We just haven't seen Gladiators. We haven't seen a lot of the Western teams play because they canceled Asian homestands.
Yeah. Vancouver also looked fine. They looked good. Fisher actually was pretty dominant. Don't know why they'd ever play Ryu Jaehong, but whatever. Guangzhou, I'm looking
also,
forward to.
I'm going to clarify this. By Western teams, I mean Western Conference.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. You didn't mean Western as in like European and American, yeah.
Yeah.
Guangzhou, I'm looking forward to seeing Seoul. Have we seen Seoul play?
No.
Well, looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing some profit on my screen. Houston, bad.
Profit? Yeah, that's such a strange team. We've lost out on two of the biggest players in the league. We've lost out on so many of the massive players in the league because of the virus.
Yeah. Profit hasn't even played this season.
I forget who's on these teams.
We're in week 4 and we haven't seen Profit play.
Yeah. That's we haven't weird. Seen Fleta play or DM.
Yeah, that's very strange. Hangzhou, look forward to seeing them. Washington, we just discussed them. We'll see what happens. Chengdu, I'm looking forward to seeing. Completely forgot Chengdu existed. I'm going to be fully honest with you.
I just traded Elsa off my fantasy team because I wanted someone that would play.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. Toronto, I think Toronto's good. They just need I think they could use like one or two more signings.
Where did we rate them in the?
We put them in the second last tier. We put them at.
Oh, that's probably accurate. I think
we put them at 14th. I'd say they're more. I'd swap them. I was gonna say I'd swap them in Outlaws, but Outlaws should be last. But
yeah, Outlaws are actually playing pretty all right now. I don't know.
I feel like Toronto should be a bit higher than 14th. Florida, we had at 15th. I think Florida's actually been decent. They've had pretty good showings. They're still not obviously top of the pack, but all right.
Yeah.
Dallas, we've
I don't,
only
I don't, I don't,
yeah, I don't know. Dallas, we've only seen a little bit of, but they've been disappointing. Doha was good, or Decay Doha was impressive. But
I think they play next week. Hopefully, I want to see Dallas play again.
Dallas does not play next week. They will play the week after.
This schedule is hurting me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like Toronto is playing this week, next week, and the week after. All of these teams that I'm seeing are the same teams. Or I guess it's just because they haven't rescheduled.
Because the Western Conference ones are not scheduled. But even then, like, there's no room for an Asian homestand in here.
I mean, I haven't fully looked at the schedule, but I feel like by, like, week 20, with 7 weeks left, I feel like there's going to be a team that has played all their games, and then they just wait.
That could be true.
I hope not, but
I feel like it might be Washington, dude.
Yeah, they're playing a lot of. Well, they have like 20 home stands.
Yeah,
I'm exaggerating.
They're having their second one already, I think. Yeah, their second one's next week.
That's so strange.
I don't know.
All right. Well.
Anyway.
And then last one, London. They've actually been all right. They seem like a rookie team that's just doing okay. Paris, very impressive. We underrated them. Valiant, we very much underrated. We put them second last, and I think they're like I feel like the definition of a rookie squad that is just trying to prove themselves.
What, doing Paris or Valiant?
Valiant.
Okay. Yeah. I also miss watching KSP play.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch.
And then Boston last. I wouldn't say they're last. I'd say they're second last. I'd say Houston's last. But Boston, they've got Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
There you
go.
That's
positive.
All right, so that's all the teams. We just went through it. And we're just going to call it there. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Glad to be back. Sorry we missed last week. It just didn't work out.
You can blame Adam for that.
Nope. You were in Florida, actually. Actually, wait, no. I could have made one by myself. You're correct. Actually,
blame Adam on
you
that
know what?
One.
We're not going to blame me on that one because I was waking up at 4:30 every morning and I had a very important project. And we're not going to blame Adam on this one. We're going to blame nobody on this one.
We're going to blame Adam on this one.
Things just happened. Not going to blame Adam on this one.
Hey, welcome to my TED Talk. It's called Blaming Adam for this one.
Thank you, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Love you. Appreciate you. Have a good one. Bye-bye. I hate it.